Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Russell Cade, and welcome to Man Baggage. This is the show where I slap my bag on the desk and empty the sack of insecurity all into the ears of the listeners, and sometimes over the faces as well if you're watching the video clips. What I'm saying, I'm squirting my insights into your face and ears. And we talk about the things we wish men would talk about, which is why we've got this absurdly, unwelcomely high female listenership. This isn't for you, you nosy cows. Sod off. This was supposed to be for men talking about their shit, but guess who listens in at the keyhole wanting to know why men perving on the boobies of people who aren't their girlfriends? Girls. That's woo. So I thought we'd be a good one today. We're going to talk about mistakes, getting things wrong, growth from mistakes, why we get things wrong. Is there a difference in attitude towards mistakes from men and women? And what a pair of guests I have today. Fellow jester Matt Richardson is in the house. Matt, how are you?
I'm really good, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
No, you're most welcome. You had a didn't you have a birthday recently? Wasn't it important?
I did. I was 30 a week ago.
Granddad! How does that feel, Granddad?
Well, I mean, look, it wasn't ideal. Like, you know, I based a lot of my career early doors on being like the young comedian on the circuit. And that backfires because you can't keep that forever, can you?
No, that's why you're better off being like old before your time.
Yes,
you know,
it's like,
you know, comedians like Dara, who was already 70 when he was 20, he just gets better and better.
Who was never aged because he always looked awful.
Exactly. Imagine, always looked excellent, I'd like to say. Imagine someone like me bouncing around with boyish energy in their 60s. It's going to be absolutely pathetic and tragic.
Yeah, look, you're kind of the experiment. How That's you do, you. Then it's going to be like, I will do roughly the same about 10 years later.
I have to empty my colostomy at a specially scheduled extra interval. Also, we're joined by our female auditor. Now, why do we have a female auditor if it's a podcast about men's mental health and men's attitudes? For the simple reason is this. I've realised that men quickly drift into matey, laddish stereotypes that are complete bollocks half of the time. So we need powerful female energy to keep us in place. And bringing that big clit energy today, it's Louisa Zisman. And it is a sizable one as well. You were in the Guinness Book of Records for some time for having a 4-inch man in the bone. It was. Actually, you could slap it down on the table and break it in half. It really is something. And welcome, Louisa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So I thought, you're both, given that, you know, the businesses we're in and the journeys you've had through the business, today's subject is going to be bittersweet. Certainly for me. I mean, I don't think you can be a stand-up without learning from mistakes. Mistakes are some of the biggest learning opportunities, but they fucking hurt when you're a stand-up comedian because it often results in silence stroke booing that hurts like a physical pain. But Matt Richardson, how good are you at using mistakes for growth? And do you think you've got better and maybe it's something that held you back in the beginning?
Yeah, I think I'm not very good at using mistakes for growth. It's taken me a long time to go, okay, well, that was maybe a good thing that went badly. I used to just go home and after any kind of mistake, be it a work mistake or a life mistake, I used to just go home and beat myself up about it for 3 weeks and then just make another mistake and then beat myself up about that one and forget about the previous one. So I'm not very good at learning from my mistakes and being perceptive with how you go through the world, really.
Would you be willing to share an example?
I'm trying to think of like a really good one that is. I mean, you know, look, I've been out, like, had relationships that were mistakes and things like that, and not really learnt from them properly, and repeated the same things over and over again. Like, gone out with someone who your personality doesn't necessarily match with, and then going out with another person like that, and just, you know, sort of creating your own misery in that way. Work mistakes. Look, I've made very few. I think I've had an almost perfect career. No, I've gigs and stuff. When you fuck up at a gig, like you say, that is they're really hard to learn from, I think. Because especially early doors when you're doing comedy, you don't know why it's gone wrong. It takes a few years before you go, oh, I did this that was the issue.
And then by then, the hull is already pissing water in.
Yeah, it's way too late.
You really have to steer to keep the boat up. Mine, of course, would be spiking my hair the same height as my head, putting a blonde streak in it and doing lots of attention seeking in tight clothes, which cost me tremendous amounts of work. It was a massive mistake.
Louisa, and the eyeliner.
And the eyeliner was also
oh,
a massive
mistake.
Oh,
I don't know. Look, I think it was of its time, that look as well, yep. Russell.
Yes, you it know. Was of its time.
Oh, you're so kind. You look ridiculous. Like a bloody kangaroo with eyeliner on.
I wouldn't have minded looking ridiculous. It was 100% a mistake. It cost me work and I realised too late. And I'm now sort of in a side parting recovery. Louisa, what about you? Are you good at learning from mistakes, or are you someone that just makes a mistake, explodes it, walks off to the next battlefield?
That is exactly me, the latter. I think generally my mistakes are like saying the wrong thing. I haven't really learned from that yet. Or also just voicing the unpopular opinion is probably
the thing
that I always do. But I don't think that's a mistake, which is why I always repeat that. Because I just say what I want to say, who I want to say it to.
I mean, the unpopular opinion could be an anti-racist point within a bunch of races. That could be the unpopular opinion, but it might be the right thing to say.
Yeah, true. I feel like I'm quite perfect, actually. Like, really, I couldn't tell you a mistake that I've made.
What about going up one boob size too many and then having to backtrack?
No, they just grew too much, so I had to have a reduction. Is that what you're talking about, my boob reduction? But they've grown back anyway.
It is intimidating being faced with...
I had a boob reduction and they've grown back. It was a weight of 15 grand it cost me, and it was agony.
It's like gardening, having boobs then. You've got to just prune, basically.
Yeah, touching them now.
Do send me the link afterwards. I can forward that on to Lindsay. And so I was going to say, do you think you've used mistakes for growth? But clearly you have, as you continue to grow after the mistake of a reduction. I mean, we're into gender stereotypes here, Louisa, but do you think, let's not take us, we're unusual characters, yeah, we've got an outspoken media personality in yourself, we've got an attention-seeking comedian in me and Matt, so let's not focus on us for a second, but do you think generally, given all the men and women you know, men or women are better at using mistakes, acknowledging them and growing? Who's got more of a brick wall of, I don't make mistakes, men or women?
I think women... are better. Men, for some reason, I don't know what it is about men, but they do seem to make more fuck-ups than women in their personal life, I think. Or I don't know if it's that or if they're just stupider, so it all comes out more, whereas women are slightly more manipulative and crafty and can style it out a bit better.
Or they're learning from their mistakes. Do you mean mistakes in their personal relationships? Like, I just slipped and fell in a prostitute, for example, was
yes.
a massive mistake I had.
That, yeah. Or like, ooh, yeah, kind of like, yeah. Exactly that. Here I go again.
What is interesting here is, obviously, Louisa, you do know a lot of Russell's personal dark mistakes as well, don't you?
I haven't
quite
made
a good
any
friend. So, you know, this is, it feels like there's like a, it's quite a, this is quite a loaded episode, this, because you're going, yeah, men do fuck up, don't they, Russell?
I'm still hung over
no,
from yesterday.
I think that guys just are more, like, a bit more blatant, like, they don't care as much, you know, and they kind of, it's, sometimes like a bit of a proud moment for a bloke, I think, like messing up in personal life. And then they're like, oh, shit, I've gone and done this again. But like, Sharon's taken me back anyway.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Matt. Do you think there's more pressure for women to experience mistakes as failures? Do you think men are like, I've made a mistake, but it's a growth opportunity. I'm going to learn from that and grow. Whereas, because of the way society is structured, when a woman fucks up.
I don't think so. I think men are allowed to make mistakes more because we're sort of treated more like we're giant children. So mistakes are kind of like treated like, if a man fucks up, like very often in the public eye as well, a man will fuck up and everyone's like, oh, what's he like? Whereas if a woman made exactly the same mistake, she would be cancelled. And I think that's the way that society has sort of nurtured men into being giant children, and women are expected to be perfect and motherly and in charge all the time. And I think that's probably the issue. And also, I think like you said about men where they're like men are looking for a story. I mean, this might just be because I'm a comedian, but when I fuck up, at least you're like, well, I can tell people about this and it'll be funny eventually. Whereas I think women are expected to not do that and not fuck up and also not have all these stories of a failed life that's led up to that point. Like, people don't see women going, oh, God, I fucked up all these times, as like a charming thing in society. Whereas men, they're like, oh, what a lovable rogue of an idiot that he's never paid his VAT.
Indeed. I mean, of course, the only exception being Strictly Come Dancing, where the rule is inverted.
Yes, very, very fair point, actually. Yeah, exactly. That was wrong.
have you ever made mistakes that felt massive at the time? Maybe when you were younger and now you look back and go, oh, my God, that was absolutely nothing. I can't believe I stressed about that. When you were at school, when you were a teenager, when you were in your early 20s. In your 20s, I can now say, Matt.
I recently made one of those mistakes that was like a teenage mistake that kept me up at night, which I'm quite willing to talk about. So there's a comedian called Paul McCaffrey. And he put a photo on Instagram and I commented on it thinking I was being funny and it was a bit of banter. I commented on it going, fuck, you look old. And then it wasn't until he commented back being like, that was a bit out of order, wasn't it, mate? That I realised I'd kind of made the classic sort of social faux pas of like thinking I was one of the lads doing a bit of banter. And actually, I just bullied somebody by accident. And it kept me up
was
for
the
four...
Was the photo of him?
Yes, it was a photo of him on
Did
stage.
Did he look old?
Well, he is, isn't he? Like he's probably nearly 50, so he just looked like him. He didn't look rough. He didn't look bad. He looked like he always looks like. But it made
I think that's fine.
When he commented back, being like, "Oh mate, yeah, thanks for that." Hashtag be kind. I felt like I was a 14-year-old.
He's a woke comedian though.
Is it? Could he? Maybe he's battering you back.
You can't be like, I don't believe that he did.
But I felt like it was a mistake. Like leaving that comment was a mistake. Like I like Paul, we get on really well, but like we're not close enough that joke. No. I misjudged it, and I felt like a 14-year-old again when I read that comment. It kept me awake for days,
Louise,
before I composed an apology.
Be kind.
Louise,
when someone says that to you, it's just really, you just think, oh, fuck off with your be kind wokeness. It's like the standard response to any criticism. Hashtag be kind. Remember Caroline Flack. It's like, fuck off. Like, you can't just use that as a blanket thing to chastise people.
Yeah,
that's what
you'll be in a restaurant
now.
And go, I hate this meal. The chicken's raw. Excuse me, be kind. Yeah. We cooked that. You will eat that and get the shits and go to hospital and be kind to the chef. But you must have done shitloads of those, Louisa, because you are not shy about saying what you think. You must have done a few of those faux pas where you've said something and really fucked someone off and now they don't speak to you. There must be some juice there. Come on.
All the time. The worst thing is when I say something in the podcast and then we have to have it taken out after it's been put out.
Yeah. So it's too late. Cat's out the bag.
Yeah, that happened a few weeks ago. So they're like, episode went out and then we had to go back and edit because of a few things that I'd said, which raised a few flags. So I do things like that, but I still wouldn't really class it as a mistake. I just class it as people being oversensitive. Like your example, Matt, I don't think that's your mistake. I think that's his personal issue. He obviously has a hang-up that he looks old and he's using, like, I don't think that comedians really, it depends on your type of comedy, I suppose, but I don't think you can, like, you've got to be able to take it.
Yeah,
you know,
I suppose.
As well as give it. You can't go and hide behind be kind when you're a comedian when basically your job is ripping the piss out of things, people and situations. That just doesn't wash with me. I would friend follow him for that. Actually.
Really? Well, no, I think it's all context, isn't it? Like, it's how well, like, I was acting like I knew him better than I do, really. That was probably the issue.
So that's what you perceive as your mistake.
Yeah, I think my mistake was, like, I didn't
over-familiar.
Understand. And also, like, the thing is, like, being a comedian, I'm needy. And, like, in comedy, Russell will agree with this, there's these kind of like cool cliques of people that are all friends and I'm not in any of them. So when you see them and like people are nice to you, you're like, oh, I'm going to join in with the boys. And I just get it wrong all the time because I'm not
awkward.
I remember when he walked in Asda with his cock out and went, hey, lads. And then he was arrested. It was really bad.
Following Josh Widdicombe around being like, please come.
We were telling some racy stories in the frozen aisle and Matt disappeared for a second, then re-emerged with his knob fully out and was arrested.
Yeah. And Acaster's never text me back. It's really embarrassing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, you right. So listen, let's try and we're going to have to change the example to try and get where Louisa actually functions on the steaks. Okay, right. So Louisa, you're making a recipe. You're making a recipe and you're supposed to put gherkins in and you haven't. It's unusable. How are you at admitting mistakes like that?
Can you? No, like, I'm just, good.
I've made a mistake. I've fucked it. I've learned from that. Next time there'll be gherkins in it. Or are you a kind of, well, Nick, come on, guys. It's your failure to adapt your taste buds, guys. You know, where is Louisa's line?
No, I am more like, put my hands up. And I'll always put my hands up and say, I fucked up, won't do it again. Whether I do it again or not is by, you know, doesn't really matter. Because I'll always admit a fuck up. But I just think that you're always better off owning something.
Yes,
in general,
absolutely.
Other than trying to style it out. Like, I have a lot more respect for people that go, do you know what, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have, you know. I think that's more respectable than trying to, like, still push something through.
Mm. I think rather than doubling down on it.
I don't know whether I should even ask you, but I think a lot of people are going to be wondering what the hell it was you said that was taken out. But can you really tell us the area it was in?
I'll tell you the gist, because I actually stand by what I said.
Yes.
That's us to the
top
of the charts.
The opposite of what you've just said, though.
Up to the top of the charts we go. I've been silenced.
The only reason why we took this out of the podcast is because of my child. And basically, one of my children, my eldest one, goes to a school, and I don't always agree with everything, and I don't really particularly like a lot of the parents that go there, and I have some issues with the teachers. Not all of them, actually, just one in particular. And anyway, I voiced this on the podcast, and actually they then... sent an email about it to school.
So, what the teacher did?
To the whole school.
Oh my God.
It was really awkward. So I then just went back to our legal team and said, can you look at this? I would like to keep it in because I'm authentic. I like to know what I think. Other mums, other dads, parents can relate to these issues that I have sometimes. And they basically came back and said, she called all of the mums psychopathic bitches and their children spoilt brats. We, as well as saying a few other things, which I won't repeat on here because I don't want to get in trouble again and have your podcast.
Yeah, just keep it mild. Calling the whole school spoilt brats and all the mums psychopathic is within the safe range of libel, I think.
That is safe range of libel. And that's what I was thinking. We've all had our libel training.
Yeah, but
so
that's
I
general enough that you're fine.
Yeah.
Exactly, but they said that I said a few other things which could have been, you know, people could have identified people. So I just said, let's just take that 10-minute rant out of the podcast. But you know, the ironic thing about this is after recording it, We've got a WhatsApp group with our producer, and I said, oh, I've got the fear. The fear has set in. Can you edit it down? So what actually went out that I thought was fine was the edited down version of what it initially said, where I called someone like Kim Jong-un, talked about dictatorship and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, this is good. I've got this. I'm really like, I've acknowledged that I said too much. We're going to edit it down from like 20 minutes to 10 minutes. This is good. This can go out. And then boom, couldn't. Well, it did go out and then it quickly got taken out. Wow. Well, it was up for 2 days. And in that time, the letter to the whole school directed the whole school to listen to it as well.
Made it worse, really, actually. They asked for it.
The whole thing was just made worse. But anyway, probably a mistake, letting it go out. Definitely was, but definitely a mistake. But I don't regret what I said, and I don't take back what I said. I still stand by what I said. But maybe I should have just been better with my libel training and made it even more generalized than I thought it was.
Maybe just gone for general dictators rather than one specific one.
I think moral of the story, send your children to a school where the other parents can't afford to take you to court for libel.
Exactly.
That's what I do. Just send them to a rough school and none of the parents will even listen to podcasts.
No, it was the head teacher.
There's a lovely one in Pyongyang, actually. Well, Matt, what are you like at let's flip it then. What are you like at tolerating mistakes in others?
I'm fine with it. Look, I think it's fine to make mistakes. Unless it's my girlfriend Sam, then like she's had enough chances. We've been together for 6 years. Like,
well, let's go there.
She should know how to empty the dishwasher.
How many times has she cheated on
you? Oh, none. She's really hit the pinnacle of her sexual career.
It's always been in the room when it's happened.
Me.
Therefore, it doesn't count.
Yeah. Look, if it's your friend and you invited him round, it's fine, isn't it?
I know. There's only so far you can get angry.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and you're sort of at the other side of the room, going, "Go on, change position." Like, then it's fine.
Absolutely. Night to
room. No. She's look. I think I'm a very patient, understanding person with other people's mistakes, especially like I've worked in like, you know, loads of jobs where you work in retail and service and things like that, and like you fuck up, like it's gonna happen. All right, am I good with other? Sorry, hang on. No. Oh no, I'm not good with other. when am I bad, Sam, with mistakes?
This is excellent.
Give me an example. I need a reference for that.
Just for the purpose of our listeners, Matt's partner has come in. He's contradicting everything you just said.
What? Sorry. Oh, there's no example, just all the time.
So God, you're just generally intolerant.
We've hit a really good
point. Well, let me give you an example. You send neither one of you can bother to go to the shop. You're like, I want to go to the shop myself because I cannot bear the tension when Lindsay comes back with one thing missing. I'd rather, if there's a mistake, I would rather make the mistake. If I make the mistake, it's fine.
Yes, 100%.
So I'm like, just let me take the stress. I can do it. How dare you? Excuse me, you're telling me I can't go to the shop to pick up 3 items. And then she goes, comes back with 2 items. And I want to catch fire in the garden. I'm so angry.
It's well, that's the thing.
I can't
take it.
There's
a lot of things in the house that I do better. So I think I do everything better in the house. So what's happened is, rather than letting Sam make the mistake, so I don't get angry, I've just become a live-in housemaid. I do everything because it's just easier if I do it. Because if she makes the mistake, then there's an argument.
So being a control freak is the antidote to tolerating other people's mistakes.
Pretty much, yeah.
If you don't let them do anything, they can't make a mistake.
Exactly. And it kind of works out. No one wants to do all the shit jobs, like hang out the washing and things, because I do it better and I use the washing line in a more productive way. And, you know, it's the same with the dishwasher. Like, it turns out, I'm the only person in this house that knows how to load a dishwasher properly and get the maximum amount in.
This is porn to me.
And I'm fine with that. Like, I'm quite happy to do all that. Like, I do all the ironing in the house, like, because I do it better. So it's just easy that I do everything.
I'll be the new Sam. Sounds like you're brilliant to live with.
Rather than her walk in and I go, are you going to iron that top? And she goes, well, I have ironed it. I'm like, I'm going to iron it again anyway, aren't I? So I might as well just do it to begin with.
As entertaining as you are, Matt, with the original example, you send Sam to the shop for 5 items. You've already stressed about, let me do it, because, hey, babe, how dare you invalidate me? I'm going to get it right. She comes back with 4. Talk us through what happens when that 4th item, let's call it the pasta you're about to cook with, is missing from that dish. Are you kind of, oh, that's so annoying, I told you, in a calm voice. Are you explosive? Are you temper run to the shop like Forrest Gump? I do sometimes do a temper run all the way to the shop without stopping.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely do, I think I would then go and get it. But to begin with, I would never yell. I would always kind of like almost psychopathically go, okay, then, that's a very interesting thing you've done there. Why don't we, we'll come back to this at a later point And I'll just do it now. Yeah, basically, I go into mind games with it as well. You know, that's just a little chalk up for me.
And I mean, I've been known to sing Paloma's Faith, Paloma, which I'm now banned from. Lindsay can't bear it when I sing my annoyance. I try and do like covert. If she's made a mistake, I'll do a covert commentary by singing an appropriate song that satirically comments on it. But I find that safer than yelling. So I might sing Paloma Faith, I just can't rely on you. I've been known to do that. I worked three jobs that day. I'm fucking knackered. I'm walking in the door like a ghost. I've said one WhatsApp, just switch on the oven. I don't want you to cook. Just switch on the oven for me so it's 20 minutes in a bit. Text 2 minutes before, please switch on the oven. Can you do a reminder, switch on the oven? I come in, oh, sorry, babe. You know what? It totally slipped my mind. Gone. My work's out of the
We do that in our house, but what we do is when one of us is annoyed, we talk to the cat about it and as if cat's expressing that opinion. So we'll go, oh, yes, that is right. Mummy did forget to put on the oven today because she wants daddy to starve to death, doesn't she? Oh, I bet she gave you your food. Oh, no, she forgot to do that as well and left your little shits in the box. Oh, I know you're annoyed, Achilles, but come on, be kind.
You two are so passive aggressive.
Yeah. So go on, Louisa, how do you deal with it?
All in with the aggression.
Oh, so you're brave, basically, compared to us.
So Mr. Louisa, Mr. Louisa's asked to pick up three things from the shop. That's all you've asked. He hasn't done anything all day. He goes to the shop. I'll do it. Don't you worry about it. Goes and picks up two.
Sorry.
Instead of three.
Where is he from, Louisa?
Irish.
Okay, that was not clear from that bit of accent.
And we spent a lot of time in Monte Carlo and Jersey. And... But he only picks up and the Cayman Islands. So he's only picked up two. He's only picked up two of the three. What are you like processing that annoyance? Talk us through the Zisman annoyance process. Do you like, doesn't matter, babe, I'll go get it myself? Or are you like, oh my God, Andrew, I told you, you know, how does it roll?
No, I'll be like, where's that? And he'll be like, oh, I forgot. And I'll be like, why did you forget? I sent you a WhatsApp. I go like, bruh. But then I'm like, it's okay, I'll go and get it myself then. I just have to have the outburst. And
you
then
need
I'm
that
fine.
One moment.
Need my, ugh! And then I'm like, okay, off I go to the shop.
That's like a Mediterranean rather than an English version. Well, that would figure because your old man's from Cyprus, isn't he?
So and you've my mum's Italian.
So you've
like
got the Mediterranean.
Up
you go, the explosion, get it done. Whereas even though I've got plenty of mixed blood, I've definitely got the more simmering English tea that's allowed to cool slowly on the side.
No, I'm like a volcano and then I erupt and then I'm fine.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break there. I need to reflect on some of the horrific things I've heard and we'll be back with part two.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.